Right now on VFN TV, you've been hearing about many things, but you haven't been hearing about the successes. So many successes have taken place, and maybe you've been praying for them, but today we're going to hear Senator Ted Cruz speaking right at the Faith and Freedom Coalition, talking specific huge victories for those who love God, love the Constitution, and love people. It's going to be an exciting program right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
What's going on, man?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited about our program.
This is so long,
we've been talking about and praying about all these different things that we're going through as a nation.
Yes.
But we're going to be talking today about some victories.
Answers. You know, we serve a God that answers prayer.
Yeah.
And when you think about this, when you really think about this, you know, so often so many people give up when they've prayed so long and they're thinking there's no way this is ever going to happen. Everything's going against it. But we serve a God who literally, when your back's against the wall, when your nation's back's against the wall, when, you know, something's happening that you're thinking there's no way out of it, that's when God
does
his
best
work.
Absolutely.
That's when we're like, we throw our hands up. God, what do I do? He says,
finally,
you got your hands up and surrender. Well, Senator Ted Cruz is speaking at the Faith and Freedom Coalition, headed by Ralph Reed.
Ralph Reed.
And he's also the founder of
the Christian Coalition.
And this is so exciting. You know, Senator Ted Cruz is not the most exciting person, but what he's saying is very exciting. I remember a prophetic word coming out of South Korea early on, that no matter what America does, when God's turning it around, if we don't change our judges, then America will not change. Well, Senator Cruz is speaking specifically about these seven victories, and the first one he's going to speak at, you can see this right here, is judges. How God has answered and begin to change our judges. Remember, judges are the ones that you appear before for traffic, for people accusing you of a crime. Maybe your business is being sued. Maybe the whole nation's being turned. Whether your school can have prayer in your school. It's always the judges that you go to.
That's right.
How important is it to have righteous judges, or judges that are constitutional?
Constitutional judges,
yeah, right. As a matter of fact, listen to Senator Ted Cruz now with this victory for the judiciary branch.
What I want to talk to you about this morning is I want to reflect on some of the incredible victories we have had for faith, for family, for the values we share. And I want to focus and highlight seven victories in the last year and a half. Seven victories. Let's start with number one, judges. Principled constitutionalist judges defending our rights. We see those on the federal courts all across the country. We see it in Justice Neil Gorsuch. And let me be one to thank God for the victory we had this week in the Colorado Bakers case. As you know, there, a Colorado baker, a Christian, a man of faith, declined to participate in a same-sex marriage, declined to bake a wedding cake that would celebrate a same-sex marriage because he viewed it as contrary to his faith. Now, if we lived in the sort of society that those who call themselves liberals describe, a tolerant society, that would have been the end of the story. He would have lived according to his faith, and we would have respected that faith and the diversity amongst us. But there are those with a legal agenda that wanted to drive that baker out of business, to punish him and any other person of faith for daring to live according to your faith. It was a case that went to the Supreme Court. Pause to think, who would have thought a wedding cake would go all the way to the United States Supreme Court? It was a case that I was proud to lead a coalition of senators in filing an amicus brief before the Supreme Court in support of religious liberty. And it was a case that this week we won by a vote of 7-2. And by a 7-2 vote, the court said the government cannot treat people of faith as disfavored citizens. You cannot discriminate against religious faith. That is not narrow. That is a bedrock principle of our First Amendment and of our nation.
That's so important. We were built that way because you can be a conscientious objector based on your faith and not have to go to war. It's always been that way. And I noticed just recently we're seeing people who actually were against that being for asking people that work for the president to be thrown out of restaurants. Mm. And so they're for, and it's like.
Well, I know some people that are always talking about tolerance. They want you to be tolerant except when it comes to Christian principles. And
right.
But I mean, that doesn't matter.
And so tolerance would be tolerance for everyone.
Correct.
You know, and the Constitution's for everyone. Everyone has the rights, every American constitutional rights, and not the whole world. It's not the world constitution, but the U.S. Constitution, because that's even getting blurry. They say this person has constitutional rights. Like, no, actually they don't. They can, but right now they don't have those kind of rights. But that's one. The next particular victory that he's talking about is innocent life. You've been hearing us pray continually on the air, on radio, on television. Dear God, end abortion. It is contingent. Revival and great awakening is contingent upon the abortion, the shedding of innocent bloodshed. It has to stop.
That's right.
It has to stop. That's before God, the sin of Moloch, the God that, the false God, the one God at all, that God hated the most is ones that they were sacrificing their children.
Non-negotiable issue, period.
Yes. And so it's happening. As a matter of fact, you hear Senator Ted Cruz talk about how under this particular president, in regards to the innocent life, the first thing he did was in the Mexico City policy, and he'll talk about it. But we were funding abortions all around the world.
And we didn't know about it.
Yes. And it's like, what are we doing? We're actually killing babies all around the world. But guess what? It has changed. God has heard your prayers. And we believe it's fully going to end. As a matter of fact, we're talking about during the break. But let's go hear what Senator Ted Cruz has to say about innocent life winning.
A second victory concerns life. Men and women here, you have devoted your lives to defending human life, to defending innocent life, every life, as a precious gift from God that deserves to be protected from the moment of conception until the moment of natural death. Well, we have seen in the last year and a half significant victories preserving innocent life. The very beginning of the Trump administration, we saw a return to the Mexico City rules, which means that our foreign aid will no longer be used to fund abortions overseas. We saw the administration pull out of funding the UN Population Fund, which was complicit in China's horrific practices of forced sterilizations and forced abortions. And we saw HHS issue new rules, returning to the old rules, prohibiting taxpayer funding from going to Planned Parenthood in clinics that provide abortions. And not only that, we saw the administration rescind the abhorrent so-called contraceptive mandate in Obamacare. A mandate that was interpreted by the Obama administration to force, or to try to force, believers to fund abortion-inducing drugs. The consequences of that decision is that the litigation against the Little Sisters of the Poor has been dismissed. As I've said many, many times, you know, the Obama administration was litigating against the Little Sisters of the Poor, trying to force nuns to pay for abortion-inducing drugs. As I've said many, many times, here's a really good rule of thumb. If you're litigating against nuns, you've probably done something wrong. It's a wonderfully reliable checklist, litigating against nuns. Yes, no. Stay on the yes side, or the no side of that ledger, rather. But those are tremendous victories. They're victories for protecting innocent life.
Isn't this exciting? Listen, God sees that. He's seeing us make the effort, and He's answering our prayers and saying, listen, every life counts. Not just the people in the world, but the people that are in the womb, they count. They have constitutional rights
That's
as well.
Right.
But listen, we get back from the break. We have five more victories that Senator Ted Cruz is going to let us know about. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Two armies faced off on a piece of farmland that's come to be known simply as Gettysburg.
The Battle of Gettysburg, fought in a war that began on April 12, 1861, ending in the spring of 1865, after Robert E. Lee surrendered to Ulysses S. Grant at Appomattox.
But did you know, in 1862, the Confederate Bible Society in Augusta, Georgia, printed the first edition of a small Bible to fit into a soldier's pocket, taking the Bible with him into battle.
The demand becoming so great, the Confederate Bible Society attempted to import Bibles from Great Britain, with blockade runners challenging the Union soldiers attempting to prevent the smuggling of Bibles to the South.
And did you know, Museum of the Bible collections hold a first edition copy of the Soldier's Bible, a significant artifact in the history and impact of the Bible in America.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about seven exciting victories that Senator Ted Cruz is letting us know that is accomplished in 500 days. But understand, it's been years that you've been praying, other people have been
praying,
and asking God across the world.
Yeah.
People are so excited that America is moving back into place. There's very few people that aren't excited about this. I was just speaking to a friend of mine over even in Pakistan, and he was talking about how much safer they feel that America is moving in this particular place. I mean, even North Korea is opening up. But the thing locally is, you know, one of the victories that's coming, you're seeing on your screen right now, is tax cuts. This is so important because people across the United States are getting bonuses in their paycheck, you're getting raises, and really, it doesn't really, you won't see the full method of it until we get to the following year, what's taking place. So it just keeps giving and giving.
2019, when they file taxes.
Yeah, somebody said something like, you're going to win, and when you get tired of winning, it's like, no, keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going. I'm good with
getting
it.
Getting close, but try one more time.
One more time. This is Senator Ted Cruz at the
Freedom Coalition.
Yes, and let's take a look now.
Third major victory. It's the incredible tax cut we saw in December. A tax cut, cutting taxes on small businesses, cutting taxes on farmers, cutting taxes on ranchers, cutting taxes on families, doubling the standard deduction. What does that mean? That for a couple, the standard deduction goes from $12,000 to $24,000. That means next year, 90% of Americans will be able to fill out your taxes on a postcard. Not only that, we saw marginal tax rates reduced at every bracket. We saw over 4 million Americans get pay raises, get bonuses because of the tax cut, $500, $1,000, more than $1,000, or as Nancy Pelosi calls it, crumbs. Marie Antoinette would be proud. But not only that, an integral part of the tax cut was doubling the child tax credit from $1,000 per child per year to $2,000 per child per year. That is real money in the pockets of hardworking families. That means a family with kids. That's the difference between having the money. If you've got three kids, that's an additional $3,000 in your pocket. That means that's the money for your daughter to get braces. That's the money for you to take your kids, maybe to the first family vacation you've been in several years, to go to Disneyland. Or to send your kids to a summer camp, or to invest in a college fund, or to help pay tuition, or help pay health care. That's real money for families who are struggling. This is a group that cares about families. Doubling the child tax credit makes a real difference.
Oh, we were just joking here in the studio about why is it all the money going to the kids?
I know, you know, I know.
Everybody can celebrate. Here's $25 for you, $25 here. We're going to pay the house down. Well, the next victory that Ted Cruz is talking about here is specifically about repealing Obamacare, the individual mandate that took place. It's really wild because if you couldn't afford insurance, you had to pay a penalty for not being able to afford it.
That's right.
It didn't make sense, but actually it was working towards single payer. It was a progression thing that was going that day, which means the government's totally over healthcare if that was going to happen. But things turned around. As a matter of fact, let's listen to Senator Ted Cruz right now talking about the repeal of Obamacare's individual mandate. The biggest tax increase on Americans that have ever happened has been turned around.
Fourth major victory. We repealed the Obamacare individual mandate. Now, that's a big deal. That's something I led the fight to do in the Senate. And I'll tell you, back in October, there were maybe a half dozen senators supporting us. Most of the conference said, look, we made a run at Obamacare twice. We came up short. Let's not muck up tax reform with Obamacare. And a handful of us began making the case both publicly and privately. That this made sense, that it made sense for the 6.5 million people. Here's how the Obamacare individual mandate works. Every year, the IRS fines 6.5 million Americans because they can't afford health insurance. Of those, roughly 80% earn $50,000 a year or less. Roughly 40% earn $25,000 a year or less. About 1 million are Texans. So I want you to imagine for a second, you're a single mom. You're working two jobs. You're struggling to make ends meet. You're trying to provide for your kids. You're not even making $25,000 a year doing that. And to add insult to injury, the IRS comes along and fines you because you can't afford to pay the premiums that have skyrocketed under Obamacare. But we made the case that repealing the individual mandate is immediate and real tax relief for the 6.5 million people getting fined by the IRS under Obamacare. But it also provided the savings that is what enabled us to fund doubling the child tax credit and lowering the marginal rates on families across the country. And we went from in October having a half dozen senators supporting it to in December all 52 Republicans standing together and voting and repealing the individual mandate. That was a big conservative victory that no one in Washington thought we could win. Now, look, Obamacare is clearly the biggest unfinished promise Republicans have. We need to finish the job. We need to keep rolling up our sleeves and finish the job and repeal every single word of Obamacare.
This is so exciting when you think about it, because what you're seeing is, if you look what happens in the world, people are like, I got to get to America because I need this surgery. Mm. I need to get to America because I need this particular medication. Yeah. Why? Because it's the best medical system there is. And, you know, I worked in law enforcement for years. I've been in ministry for years. That America takes care. All you do is you go, they have a county fund normally in your county. If you can't afford insurance, they'll actually take care of you in the emergency room. And they fund it based off the local tax dollar there to be able to
take
care of that.
Nobody gets denied.
Indigent care.
Indigent care. Nobody gets denied.
They wouldn't turn anybody.
It's not like that in all nations.
No, it's not. And so, but either way, but look at this. And so now, the next victory is so important. It's about school choice. Mm. Now, think about this. any choice you make, the best choice that you want to make for your kids, whatever, it's a private homeschool, this school, that school, whatever.
Religious school, parochial.
You now get a choice in the money that gets put aside. Like for my wife and I, you know, we pay $500 a year, and we don't have any kids. We have grandkids in school, but no kids in school. And everybody's paying that money, but they're going to get that money back per kid, which is thousands of dollars per year spent on your kid.
It's $10,000 per child per year.
That you can take and buy homeschool books with it, or you can send your kid to this particular school, or you can do virtual school. I mean, you will be in control in the direction of your children's education. This is exciting. This is a victory. Senator Ted Cruz telling us specifically about this great victory that we just got. Check it out.
Victory number five. School choice. An amendment that I introduced on the tax bill became the only amendment actually adopted on the Senate floor. It took College 529 savings plans, very, very popular tax advantage plans that you can save for your kids or grandkids to go to college, and it expanded them to cover K through 12 education, to cover public school, private school, religious school, parochial school. Your choice, up to $10,000 per child per year. Now, there was some drama in this amendment. It came to a vote after midnight Friday night, early Saturday morning. It's clear it was going to be close. We had 52 Republicans in the Senate. Early on, two Republicans voted no. At that point, the Senate floor staff, they picked up the phone. They called the Vice President's office. Vice President wasn't in the Capitol at the time. He was at home. They said, Mr. Vice President, it looks like we may have a tie. We need you to come down to the Capitol. So the Vice President got in the motorcade, began heading down to the Capitol. I'm standing there trying to convince one of the Republicans who'd voted no to switch her vote. While I'm doing that, Joe Manchin, Democrat from West Virginia, walks behind me and votes yes. There's an audible gasp in the well of the Senate. Senate floor staff picks up the phone. They call the Vice President's office. They say, Mr. Vice President, turns out we don't need your vote. We just got Manchin. We don't need you here. So the Vice President turns the motorcade around, begins heading back home. Manchin returns to his desk, and a sea of Democrats descend upon him. They begin yelling at him. I think they actually pulled out a stick and began beating him with this. And about 5 minutes later, Manchin sheepishly walks to the front of the Senate and switches his vote to a no. So the Senate floor staff picks up the phone, calls the Vice President's office. They said, Mr. Vice President, we need you after all. It's about 15 minutes from the Naval Observatory to the Capitol. Vice President turns around his motorcade a second time. And 15 minutes later, the Vice President walks onto the floor of the Senate. He says, the ayes being 50, the nays being 50, the Senate being equally divided, the presiding officer votes in the affirmative, the amendment is adopted. And with that, we saw the most far-reaching federal school choice legislation that has ever passed come into law, providing potentially benefits to up to 50 million school kids across the country, enabling parents and grandparents to save for your kids, to save for your grandkids, and to choose the best educational options for them.
This is exciting, is it not? Think about it. This is only the first 500 days. There's another particular victory that just happened as well. We're talking about the sixth one. The sixth one is the United States opens the embassy in Jerusalem and acknowledges Jerusalem as the eternal capital of Israel. Let's go to Senator Ted Cruz with this victory.
The sixth major victory. Just a few weeks ago, finally, the United States opened our embassy in Jerusalem. I was incredibly privileged to be in Israel, to be in Jerusalem at that embassy opening, to stand there. It was the 70th anniversary of the creation of the modern state of Israel. 70 years ago, when David Ben-Gurion declared the state of Israel, 11 minutes later, Harry S. Truman recognized Israel. kind of embarrassed it took us that long. But, you know, presidents in both parties had promised to move our embassy to Jerusalem. Presidents in both parties had broken that promise. We had a year and a half battle in the Trump administration. I energetically argued for moving the embassy, and President Trump made the right decision. And now our embassy is in Jerusalem, the once and eternal capital of Israel.
This is so important. Listen, we've got to move on to the next one. But understand, that was the key to releasing great wealth transfer into America and shifting us, because it's all about the apple of God's eye and what's taking place. But listen, we're going to the seventh victory that Senator Ted Cruz is talking about is President Trump withdraws the United States from the Iran deal. This is so important. Right now, the citizens of Iran are rising up, and you're looking at potentially, and let's pray, that yes, they get their country back from this weird government that's been oppressing them. The people want to be free. The government's not the same as the people in Iran. Mm-hmm. These are totally different people than their media makes them out to be. But guess what? Things are changing. The economy is shifting because of the president pulling out the bad nuclear deal, which actually would have given them nuclear weapons in a short period of time and threatened the world, but also threatened
Israel.
Let's take a look at this victory. Senator Ted Cruz.
The same week that we opened our embassy, the president made the decision, the right decision, to withdraw from the disastrous Obama-Iran nuclear deal. President Obama had sent tens of billions of dollars to the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism, the Ayatollah Khamenei, who chants death to America and death to Israel. When he says that, I believe him. That deal would have led inexorably to the Ayatollah having nuclear weapons. Once again, there was a battle in the Trump administration. Do we stay in the deal? Do we pull out? I energetically urge the president, the right thing to do for the national security of this country is pull out of the deal and use every force we have, economic, diplomatic, and if need be, military, to ensure that the Ayatollah never, ever, ever gets nuclear weapons. Seven victories.
Seven victories. This is so important. Listen, we want to hear from you. Comment below. Email us. We want to hear what you have to think about these seven awesome victories in the first 500 days. Listen, we want to pray for you right now. We thank God. God, we thank you for these victories. We pray
yes,
that many
Lord.
People will be blessed because of them. Free the Iranian people from the oppressive government. Father God, we shift everything we ask you, Lord. We thank you for hearing our prayers and bringing the right mindsets back, Father God. And we just pray, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.